third reading is from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus cleared the temple last Sunday, saying, "My Father's house is to be a house of prayer for all people." Today, then, we have his story about two men doing just that, a Pharisee and a tax collector, who go up to the temple to pray. So, is this a story about prayer? Or is it about going to church? Or is it about something deeper and bigger, like faith? Or is it about salvation itself? And the answer is yes to all of these. Luke introduces this story by saying that Jesus told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. But Jesus himself ends it with the words, "This tax collector went down to his house justified rather than the Pharisee." To be righteous, to be justified, means to have a right standing before others. Here it does mean before God himself. This is the key question. This is the most fundamental that we have. Am I right with God or not? That's no trivial matter. Those who deny that there is a God at all do so that they can avoid this question. Cain's murder of Abel and then his argument with God boiled down to this as well. "I'm not my brother's keeper." That is to say, "I'm not at fault here, God. I'm in the right." Now, why does this matter? It matters because you know people who are in great danger of ending up like that Pharisee, not justified. It matters because you know people who belong here and who aren't here. And because you yourself fall under this same question. Are you right with God? How can you be? And here's where the parable then should shake us up. Because it condemns, Jesus condemns and sends home unjustified, unrighteous, wrong with God, damned, everyone who trusts in themselves. Everyone who believes that they are righteous and free from judgment, he says, will not be found so. And when you go and you speak with your friends or with your neighbors, or when you talk to your own children, is it not that you most often hear them say that very thing? "I'm fine. I'm right with God. Don't you worry about it. Leave me alone." Well, to our shame, you and I have believed them. We've agreed with what they've said. We've even tried to find ways to justify their response. Now, pastors know this best, but that's only because we wear around our necks a walking advertisement that we're here to speak for God. But it's always the case that when people meet up with preachers, whether they're the professional ones or not, they always seem a lot more interested in talking than they do in listening, don't they? They're eager to come up and tell you what? They're eager to come up and tell you why they are righteous. That is, they immediately begin to make justifications for themselves. And you know how those conversations go. The first way that they are righteous is that they do not go to church, you see, right? They have all sorts of reasons why they don't, and that's just fine. Usually, there is some thanking of God that they are not like so many other men, particularly like hypocrites, hypocrites like you and people in our church who do this or that. And they explain how they are superior worshipers to us. They stand by themselves. They appreciate the things that really matter. Usually, that's the outdoors or family time. The second way that they are righteous, almost invariably, is that they pray. They pray all the time, apparently. And thirdly, they insist that they do have faith. And of course, that being in church has nothing to do with faith. Sometimes they mention good deeds, no doubt, but I don't hear that so much. Much more often I hear a story about a friend or someone they know who has a real problem and how sorry they feel for them. And so the conclusion is obvious. They're right with God. They're fine. Just look at them. And we don't have an answer to that, do we? We hear what they say and we kind of believe them. And the hypocrites bother me too. And I have many good reasons why going to the temple is not that important. I mean, you can pray anywhere, can't you? We can worship and we can praise God in the fishing boat too. Isn't it better appreciation to thank God that we are not like other men? Not like kidnappers and murderers, terrorists, black people, racists, or any of those talking heads in Washington. Family is what really matters, doesn't it? Family, that's what makes us belong, doesn't it? All this shows that the Lord is telling this parable to you and to me. That I am the one who trusts in myself that I am righteous. And that, of course, this always leads me quickly into treating others with contempt. We can be uncannily like the Pharisees. Whether that's thinking that family blood is what makes for church membership and eternal salvation, or thinking that prayer is really about ourselves, or that the goal of faith is to no longer be in need, but to be spiritually self-sufficient. Repent. Repentance is where righteousness is found. Repentance is how you can be right with God. And repentance has two parts. First, it's the terrors that strike your conscience because of the knowledge of your sin, your failure, or your false self-righteousness. And the second part is faith. Faith that looks outside of yourself and looks to Christ for undeserved mercy. Looks to be justified not by your excuses or your deeds or your attitudes at all, but to be justified by His grace as a gift. To be propitiated, to be atoned for, to have your evil paid for by His blood instead of your own. To be in the greatest need and to have Him deliver you. Faith is not believing that God exists. Faith is trusting in His promises. The tax collector goes down to his house justified that day, right with God by faith. And his prayer gives us a window into that faith. It begins with his great need. He speaks honestly about himself. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And his posture shows it too. But this wonderful and well-known prayer that punctuates our whole service, you know, Lord have mercy, is also a great confession in this tax collector's mouth of what he trusts in, what it is about God that is trustworthy, and why he prays. He says not just have mercy to me in the ordinary way, he says be propitious to me. Expiate my sins, Lord. Pay my debt for me. Make me right with you. And make me right with you by your efforts, God. The word that is used here is the very same word that is used for the mercy seat that sits between the cherubim on the top of the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament temple and tabernacle. That's the place where the blood was sprinkled once a year to atone for all of the sins of Israel. And this mercy seat is the very same name given to Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus, whose blood covers over all of the accusations of the law against us, just as the mercy seat sat and the blood covered over and stood between the commandments in that chest and God. Jesus, who declares of those who are not right before Him by their merits, I forgive you. I declare to you that you are right with me by what I have done for you. Why pray? Not to boast to God about what it is that you are glad for, what you love more than Him. But it is to ask, and to ask for everything. To be before Him in the very posture of faith, ready to receive from Him, and maybe even bold enough to demand it from Him like this tax collector does. Not on his own account, but because he has been promised it in Christ. And why be at this divine service? Why be here in the church to hear His word? It is because saving faith is faith that trusts in what Jesus says. It is faith that grasps and receives what He gives and longs to be right with God. Faith that recognizes that I am not right with God in any other way than by Jesus freely declaring it to me. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Perhaps even we have had the wrong idea about church. In the Old Testament, they came to the temple because it was the place where God was propitious, gracious, merciful, and forgiving to them. It was the place where the blood was shed. It was the place where the blessing was given, the place where the promises that created faith were proclaimed. This and nowhere else was where God had promised to be present and to be known to them according to His mercy. That is the faith that brought the tax collector to the temple and the faith that sent him home justified. So also now in the New Testament, we go wherever it is that the word is proclaimed in spirit and in truth and in the company of sinners. No further sacrifice is needed now that Christ has done it all once and for all. We simply come to where that mercy, that it is finished for you, echoes, and where that propitious blood is poured out even now for us. We come to be justified, because on our own we most certainly are not. But in Jesus Christ and His Word and His gifts, we are. This fundamental question is real. How am I right with God? And the answer is only in Jesus Christ, in His mercy, in His forgiveness, from His propitiation, His atoning sacrifice. He is the true mercy seat. And you and I and your children and your neighbors all need Him. Not everyone who prays, yeah, not even those who do it at the temple or in the church building, go down to their houses justified. No one goes down to his house justified. Except, as we pray in today's collect, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, in which all have been reconciled and are righteous. Now, where are all of the people who come running to you and to your pastor boasting of these things? Where are those sinners running up to say, Jesus Christ is the propitiation for my sins? He is my mercy seat. He has taken my sins away to declare me righteous and give His righteousness to me. Where are those who say, in the depth of my degradation, He had mercy on me so that I might be saved eternally? Well, thanks be to God, they are here after all. God preserve you, dear saints, in this saving faith. And may it drive you always to seek out His means of grace that deliver Christ, the one mercy seat, to you again and again. And God, humble all those who are missing. Humble them as we too are humbled, that they together with us might be exalted only and entirely through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, on account of whom we indeed are right with God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.